This morning, I want to say to the MBBs to make sure you check prior to the importation so you'll know. I heard David, for all he's calling with confidence, his role. I'm doubt if he checked his role out. He called it with great confidence. It was almost 100%. And then Jeremiah, your daddy, would never let that happen. He would be right on top of it because he would check them before the call, because it's so important that we be on the call. All of you who are on the call is so important, because one word sometimes can change a whole destiny. And we're going to have a strong impartation this morning. And the impartation, I'll start by developing proper passion for ministry. Developing proper passion for ministry. In other words, ministry cannot be a sideline agenda. All of your emotion, all you got, you have to put ministry first. I began teaching last night about Michael Jordan at Kobe Bryant memorial service, or dedication service he had for them to speak. And he talked about the passion that Kobe had for basketball. He would call him 12 o'clock at night, 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning. And Michael said he was getting a little upset, but then he come to a conclusion that this boy really got passion for the game. And I thought about Tiger Woods. I talk about those sisters who play tennis, the passion they have for the game. I have not seen that in many ministers. We prepare to preach, and, you know, we praise God, but, I mean, the passion that is a lifetime desire for you. I mean, you just, Jesus said, blessed are they which do thirst and hunger after righteousness, they shall be filled. So we want to develop that impartation of passion, and there are certain ways to do it. I'm going to aim at doing it this morning from at least four scriptures. Number one, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. It said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Notice the two places, in heavenly places in Christ. And then in Philippians chapter 1, verse 19, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. The 20th verse says, according to my honest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I should be ashamed, but that with all boldness and always, so now also Christ should be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Now, these are passion statements. The other two scriptures, Romans 8:28, how we desire all things to work together for our good. But you have to love God. You have to have a deep passion for Him first, above everything, above family, above activities. It's just that the Holy Spirit had to give you that passion. And the backup scripture before I start making the importation is Matthew 22:37-40, where it brings forth how much we got to love God, and all the law and all the prophet hangs on that. The first importation aspect, the traffic that come into ministry that has secularized the works of God. Secularism, socialism, humanism, soundtracks, senses, stereotypes. Those things had to be dealt with because they have sneaked into the church without, this is very close, the supply of the Spirit. Really, I'm talking about that passion can't come unless we yield to the supply of the Spirit. Even though we are doing some work, but until we develop stronger passion and keeping everything first, it will never be how the Father wanted to be. So the traffic, there's a lot of traffic that comes, secular traffic that come into the church as a cooperation instead of a covenant. And you have to watch that principles and ideas that come from the secular world. When you develop a deeper passion for ministry, the supply of the Spirit will be the strongest force in your life. Secondly, hindrances to the Spirit's ability to move as He desires. Hindrances to the Spirit's ability to move as He desires. The supply of the Spirit in Philippians 1:19 is so powerful because without the supply of the Spirit, the name of Jesus is invalidated. Without the supply of the Spirit, the Word of God is invalidated. Without the supply of the Spirit, the resurrection and the cross and the resurrection is invalidated. The Spirit has to breathe on everything, and He won't breathe on anything. So we have to make sure that things are in divine order, that our anointing, our insight, our illumination, our empowerment will all be in place, that the Holy Spirit is not grieved or quenched by some humanism or some science or some stuff we have let got into God's church or into the agenda or the assignment that God has given us. So we have to pray in the Spirit to make sure those things we need to take out, and those things we need to bring in. The hindrance, the Spirit ability to move as He desires. So a lot of times we get locked in economy, we get locked in sickness, we get locked in because two family left the church, et cetera. We cannot let that happen. The supply of the Spirit is so important here at this time, in this generation, we have to bring it back in completely. Developing proper passion for the ministry. Now, the stages of the ministry, proclamation, manifestation, publication, explanation, and consummation must start lining up properly. In the Old Testament, you have the proclamation. In the Gospel, you have the manifestation. In Acts, you have the publication. In the Epistles, you have the explanation. And then in the Book of Revelation, you have the consummation. So when you're reading from any one of those contexts of the Word, make sure you validate, if you're in the Gospel, that the Gospel always is dealing with manifestation of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And then if the passion is not there, there's a lot of time we miss things on another realm by dealing at a lesser realm, in the sense realm. I mentioned stereotype preaching and preachers, soundtracks. Of the Holy Ghost trying to bring out all the things that can be a hindrance to a real proclamation, a real manifestation, a real publication. The promises of God must be pulled off of the shelves of delay by removing the substitute in our ministry, and by faith, pulling the substance of the promises on display in our lives and assignment. Now, what are you saying? What are you talking about? The substitute that is taking place for the substance, it has to deal with the supply of the Spirit. The supply of the Spirit will check all substance to see if it's applicable for faith. And a lot of times we have a framework going, but it's really not something that the supply of the Spirit can endorse. It may feel good, it may look good, but yet the Spirit of God cannot endorse it. So we have to keep ourselves from grieving, quenching, resisting, use a word I made, secularizing, humanism, all of these things. We've got to use those things, use our spirit and faith proper for to do ministry in the Spirit as God desires for ministry to be done. And then if you look at Philippians 1:19, now you can jump back and tap into Ephesians 1:3. See, Ephesians 1:3 cannot be tapped in heavenly places in Christ cannot be tapped in without Philippians 1:19, Ephesians 1:3, the supply of the Spirit. And the supply of the Spirit is easily cut off. The Holy Spirit is very sensitive. And over the years, I've watched ministries, watched my own ministries, and watched people who progress in the Spirit and people who progress in the flesh. Now, the one who progressed in ministry in the flesh finally going to be taken out. You have to be sure you're in the Spirit. Numbers don't mean you're successful. Money don't mean you're successful. People hollering when you're preaching don't mean you're successful. If you're actually functioning in the supply of the Spirit, then you are successful. All right? So we have to put the substance back in place and move the substitute out. All right? Now, I want to repeat this because this is off the shelf. This is off the hook. And you have to contemplate this for a few moments. But you remember when God spoke, that speaking creation, he spoke the word, but the Spirit had to move. See, the Spirit had to move. The Spirit don't move. Remember, Jesus didn't start his ministry until the Holy Ghost came upon him. You see, so we had to see that. I want us to see that. If you embark on something without the Spirit, you're going to struggle. And I think that's happening in a lot of ministry. I think that the passion and the time is not being spent. How can I say this? I think we organize, but the life is not there. The presentation may be there, but the power and the presence is not there that should be with the supply of the Spirit. Very important that we begin to pray in these areas, because I see and have seen too many good, honest, loving, caring, kind people who really love the Lord, but they got to go further in passion toward the Lord for the Lord to get them out the circle they're going in. So, listen, the name of Jesus, the word of God, the power of the cross, and the resurrection need the supply of the Spirit to be effective. Wow. 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 Is it possible for a man or woman to be using the name of Jesus without the supply of the Spirit? Because if you haven't spent time in the Spirit, Jude tells us about it. Romans 8 tells us about it. If you haven't spent time in connection and contact and communication with the Spirit, the communion of the Holy Ghost, the supply. Now, I didn't bring it up. Another scripture talking about the grace of God, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost, the supply of the Spirit, communion of the Holy Ghost, is so important. I mean, it's not talking about longevity of time. It's talking about being aware of the need of the supply of the Spirit, no matter how good your sermon sounds, no matter what is your ABC under your man part, if the Spirit don't breathe on it, no matter who falls out, if the Spirit don't breathe on it, it's not effective in heaven. It's not effective in Christ. It's not effective in the Spirit. And that's what the Lord made in my heart in prayer, is to impart to each person on this line, increase the value of your walk with God. Increase your passion towards Christ. Don't just go through a prayer mode. Pause and listen and get fresh instruction from God. It is so important what we're dealing with today. It's so important because, as I say, there's so much going on in the church. There's so much going on in ministry. There are so many heroes out there that really don't know nothing about the supply of the Spirit. We're not being negative. We're not saying that we're the only one have some ideas of what's going on. There's great men and women going out there doing great things. But for LGMA, my responsibility put on me by God, I have to talk to each one of you all and let you all know we have to have this impartation of passion for the ministry. It's not a job. It's not a business. It's not just something we're going through. It's a calling. It's an anointing. It is an assignment that the Lord really wants to use us, whatever city we're in, whatever state we're in a special way. So I think that's a powerful note here that the name of Jesus, the word of God, the power of the cross, the power of the resurrection need the supply of the Spirit to be effective. And, you know, if you look at a scripture such as John 6:63, fresh prophet, none the word I speak to you there is the spirit that quickens the word that I speak to you, their spirit, their life. It's very important. If the supply of the Spirit is being quenched, or grieving quenched, we have found the problem to all of our ministry problems. Once you find out that the Spirit is pleased, now the Spirit is not pleased just because we pray in tongues. The Spirit is not pleased just because we raise our hands and say glory to God. Is the small foxes that follow by, and we have to go over these things over and over again. Someone may say, don't talk to me like I'm elementary. I've been reading the Bible. I've been in the ministry a long time. Yeah, I know that. But we got to keep increasing. I never stop. Just keep increasing. Keep feeding. Keep looking. Keep searching. Keep listening. Keep hearing. Keep acting. That is so important. Our ministries must be guided and protected by the infinite wisdom of the Holy Spirit. Our ministry must be guided and protected by the unlimited wisdom of the Holy Ghost. That's a supply of the Spirit. One of the supply of the Spirit, let me give you some of the Spirit, supply of the Spirit. The Spirit of promise. The Spirit of wisdom. This is the next one. The Spirit of access. The Spirit of indwelling. The Spirit of revelation. The Spirit of truth. The Spirit of faith. The Spirit of love. The Spirit of understanding. All these are supplies. The Spirit of discerning. The Spirit of command, the Spirit of grace, and it's more than 12, the Spirit of mercy. You go on and on and on and on. You go on and on. Notice that number 3, the Spirit of access, is only that certain places that you have to get, that only a supply of the Spirit can get you there. All right? It's so important. I want to read this again. Oh, my goodness. Our ministry must be guided and protected by the infinite wisdom of the Holy Ghost. The supply of the Spirit will cause the best to come to pass. And all things will work out in the most harmonious and most successful manner. The supply of the Spirit will cause the best to come to pass. And all things will work out in the most harmonious and most successful manner. Now, some of you online, all of us, but some of you online, can take this impartation and take your ministry to another level. If you don't take it for granted, that I'm just talking the past some time when I spent, when I'm on my gazebo and sit with the Lord this morning, early this morning, and ask him, what should I talk about? And he said, talk to him about passion in ministry. Now, I wouldn't talk about something I don't have. Okay. By the revelation of yielding to the supply of the Spirit, I call for all problems to be solved. and that you accomplish what the Lord put in your view to accomplish for him and his glory. Understand that I'm speaking over you. By the revelation of yielding to the supply of the Spirit, I call for all problems to be solved, and that you will accomplish what the Lord put in your view to accomplish for him and his glory. You must develop more passion for ministry. Ministry cannot be pastime or the way to make a living. You must become a man, a woman, possessed with the promises of God. Very rare you meet that, but that's, you need to put that in your passion that you really want. Because, you know, I noticed worldly and mature things, and I guess I'm using COVID. I looked at his 10 greatest cars he had and stuff like that, and I looked at he had 3 mansions, and he gone. The old school would say, only what you do from Christ will last. What a privilege God has called us, you in various states and cities, as ministers of the gospel. What a responsibility it is. A responsibility we really can't handle without the supply of the Spirit. So we must keep our lives and ministry under the care and the guidance of the Spirit. Just a few more minutes. I'm going to talk to you about the supply of the Spirit. I think we need to add Acts 20, 28, and 32 when the apostle gives the pastors instruction in Ephesus. Then the apostle gives us instruction in Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, and what we're trying to get. That's really what we're trying to get, where the church can begin to function as she should. I'm sending a format, an apostolic format of witnessing out. I got a man saved this morning about an hour ago. And then a lady got 3 saved. I think it's about 139. 2 weeks and 1 day have been born again by a wisdom from God of how to do it. And I've shared it with some of the ministers, but I'll share it with everybody. Jesus lays his ministry out on the basis that he had a full supply of the Spirit. He made sure that in Luke 2:40, you'll see threefold, talk about increasing, waxing strong in spirit, increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And then you go to the 52nd verse, and it said, there's a grace that give you favor with God and man. And then Jesus said in Luke 4, I talked about it last night, verse 1, he went out in the power of the Spirit. Verse 14, he came back in the power of the Spirit. Verse 18, he announced a fivefold aspect of anointing that was on his ministry. Then we as ministers know Acts 10:38 that Jesus didn't move without the Spirit. And so then we have Ephesians 1:3 we're talking about, and Philippians 1:19. So there's a word here of maturing in the supply of the Spirit. The supply of God's Spirit, the supply of Christ's Spirit, the supply of the Holy Spirit. Now, a lot of things we may call elementary, and they are of the Spirit, so there's no per se elementary thing in the Spirit. Because whatever the Spirit says, he can bring to pass. When you're maturing in the supply of the Spirit, it is a whole spiritual realm. When you were born again, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Hold on to that. You see, because, yes, I got it. Here's what the Spirit of God said right there on the spot. That is not just about being born again. That is about birthing. Birthing things in your ministry, birthing things in your life. You got to go back to that same format, because if you try to do something in the ministry in the flesh, it's not going to be born. Listen to that again, because it sounds elementary. it's a whole spiritual realm. When you are born again, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Now, you can set that off in a category by itself, but no, we can't do that today. See, we have to make sure that we have a spiritual birth in our ministry. So you are born into another realm, which is the realm of the spirit. Unless we mature in the spirit, there's a lot of things that God has done for us through Christ we'll never receive. Ephesians 1:3 right there. In order to understand that, go back to Ephesians 1:3. It's important to understand the 12 different aspects of the supply of the Spirit. Spiritual blessing or not blessing that began in the flesh. So in order to enjoy and activate the spiritual blessing, you're going to have to know how to operate in the supply of the Spirit. I'm almost a half hour. You have to be a student of the Spirit, because sometimes your body, the situation, lie to you, and sometimes the circumstances lie to you. But here's what I want as your leader. When you know how to function in that other realm, you're functioning in the truth, and the truth cannot be buried. The enemy would like to call elementary what is heavy, and he'd like to call what is heavy elementary. He reverses it on you. He don't want you to really, us to really grind into the fact that we must make spiritual move. By saying in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, it's letting you know this stuff can't be stopped. Well, you say, why I don't have it? You see, blessings with all spiritual blessings in heaven, and those spiritual blessings manifest to give us tools and weapons and support we need in this realm. Why they're not flowing? Well, you have to get them out of the spirit realm first. You have to have the supply of the spirit for any other supply, sure. So, when you're talking about the supply of the spirit, that's the highest place you can go. It's divine and supernatural. So here again, in Philippians 1:19, there's so much emphasis here that applies to all three texts we're looking at. Ephesians 1:3, we looked at Philippians 1:19, Romans 8:28. All things with the other group. That actually comes from Romans 8:26. It comes from the whole 8th chapter of Romans. Talking about the supply of the Spirit. See, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. As many as led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. Spirit bear witness my spirit. My heirship, everything is involved in that. And it may sound like a Sunday school lesson, but it actually is the highest lesson that I ever learned in my life to totally depend on the Spirit. Praise God. Hold on a minute, I'm going to try to find something that I'm going to use before I close. You remember the Bible said in Romans 8:28 that that's an all spiritual statement. Now in Philippians 1:19, he's going to throw all kind of stuff, going through all kind of stuff. And when you're going through stuff, you ought to be able to say, this will turn to my salvation, my deliverance, my victory, my connection. If some of y'all are on this line going through some stuff now, I want you to take Romans 8:28 and Philippians 1:19 and speak to the issue. Now, the supply of the Spirit is the supply of the Holy Spirit. He is the supply, listen, of all divine transactions, even with God. God didn't move without his Spirit. When he spoke the word into the world into existence, the Spirit moved over the water. You need the word and the breath. If the Holy Spirit is not breathed on the word, it will not come alive. We have to mature in our activating or receiving, maturing in the supply of the Spirit. Know what supply we need at any given moment and know definite it will be supplied. Just a few more minutes. Note that when one knows how to function in the supply of the Spirit, there's nothing can overpower them because the supply of the Spirit is higher than demonic spirit, human spirit, whatever it is. But we have to know how to feed on these things. Remember, we're dealing with from John 16:12. You might read that. And the latter part of Hebrews 5. If you truly learn how to function in the supply of the Spirit, you will never lose again. It may look like you're losing, but you know better. Only a matured person can know better. But all the circumstances and all the facts say it's not going to come out right and still say it's going to come out right. Why? Because truth overrule opinion and facts. Truth overrule opinion and facts. You need to understand that natural fact cannot lord over truth from heaven. So symptom, image, whatever, it cannot overrule the truth. This is the impact. Listen, I love it. This is the impact that the Holy Spirit had on the early church. In studying the supply of the Holy Spirit, it's important to mark the radical change brought by Pentecost on the early church. I mean, even more radical than walking with Jesus. More radical when they found out he rose from the dead, when the Holy Ghost came. The impact of the Holy Spirit was God. It was God's move. It was the final move that God was making when he sent himself in the form of the Spirit. The impact of the Holy Spirit was a radical move on the early church. They began to do things they had never done before, even though they had walked with Jesus. My goodness. Father, we thank you today. These men and women are faithful enough to be on this line. They got various calling tonight, various ministries, successful ministries on this line, ministries that are growing on this line. But I really believe that the men and women, because of their faithfulness over the years to be on this line, really love you. I just pray that you touch their hearts today. Holy Spirit, I've done the best I can to yield to you on this supply of the Spirit. But every ministry under the sound of my voice, I'm asking you to supply the wisdom and the understanding and the empowerment and the supplies, both spiritually and physically, they need in their ministry and their walk of life. We thank you for letting us be a family without confusion and argument and bickering, that we walk together. We know neither one of us are perfect, but we know we all love you. We thank you how far you brought us in this communication together with one another, and how respect and honor been built in men and women, for example, to others as they step into LTMA. We thank you that this impartation, Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to take it, breathe on it. The feverish part, the insufficiencies, I'm asking you to make it up in the Spirit, that you would take one thing or two thing or three thing and touch each heart that's under the sound of my voice, to know that our capacity to move is greater than we'll ever use up. So we thank you today for a new start. We thank you for a new door, the new gates being opened to everyone under the sound of my voice. We bless your name. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Junior, you got it, son.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much. I just want to give you a reminder, if you haven't received an email or a text yet about our total LTMA body call that we'll have for the whole LTMA body on March the 7th. That's this Saturday at 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We'll be talking about our goal for Founders Day and also introducing to new LTMA members what we do as a family to honor our visionaries. So that'll be Saturday, March 7th. That's this Saturday at 10 a.m. Central Standard Time and 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. The call will probably be no longer than 20-25 minutes.